of things to what I believe that LTMA was called to do, of lighting the torches of ministers around the world, or lighting the torches of ministers around the world. Those of you who are connected and part of this, or we'll call it fellowship, or this ministers alliance, it's important that we don't just be a part of the LTMA. When I talk about lighting the torches of ministry around the world, there are certain things that I want to share with you that will make a difference in your ministry, not just the same old, same old. And so the encounters and the experience that I've had in ministry, I want to impart them to you like Moses imparted to Joshua, like Elijah imparted to Elisha. Those type of things, but we also got to look at the connection, what part kept the connection validated in those scenarios. I believe God organized the LTMA for this reason, for to break the usual, and that each one of us unique and should have an unusual ministry. So I just want to share a few things. Because I want to see changes. I don't know how much change is going on in your ministry. I don't know what I'm going to have to do to see those changes. I'm just asking the Holy Spirit to give me the wisdom of how to have more input into your success in ministry. I really know that if the connection is properly and the fellowship is properly and the effort is properly, that manifestation has to come. So I want to talk to you a minute about the secret of all my ministry success. And one of my secrets is my focus is on Him in the aspect of ministry. That's what I've done over these years. And so number one, and this is very important, get your eyes off of His hands and seek His face and His heart. That is very important. And I guess God passed Moses' secret to Joshua there in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And that same secret is still activated today by those who know what it is. When you read those nine verses, he said, "As thou art with Moses, I'll be with thee." And then he told him some things that Moses did to have good success and prosperity in his ministry and over the people. So I think in ministry what have happened, I don't even know how I was saved from this. I was saved from this. I saw what Fred Price had and the Hagans had, and I even saw a younger man, Truffle O'Donnell, what he had. He invited me to his house, picked me up in the Rolls Royce. But I didn't do nothing until the Lord spoke to me. My pursuit was finishing my course and doing what He wanted me to do. Now, I saw those things. I liked those things. And I think the average minister who had not the proper leadership have already locked himself in bondage by, you know, there's nothing wrong with credit, but credit you can't pay for is a devil. And it become a lifestyle. And for ministers in the LTMA, I have to turn this money issue around, managing their ministry. I want to help them more and more. And each one of y'all at a different level, but all of us can learn, because I'm learning even as we speak here today. So I want you to remember this first point. I want you to get Joshua 1:1-9 and read it. I'm not going to go over scripture word by word, but you know it ends up in that 8th verse. It tells you how to have good success and how to prosper. And so the Lord said, tell them, get their eyes off of my hand. In other words, cause, houses, clothes, trying to show somebody where you're at. Just settle down and focus on what He tell you to do. And that's what I did, and the stuff just came. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, me and my three boys were sitting back in the prophet's chamber in my home, where some of these boys stay when they come in. We're back here now. We had lunch together in the front. We're back here now. and to do ministry. But all this stuff just came. They watched it. All three of my boys just watched it, how God did it, because I wasn't smart enough to bring none of it to pass. So God passed Moses' secrets to Joshua. Very important. As I talk about Elijah and Elisha. Now, Gehazi messed up because his eyes was on the Lord's hand, and he dishonored God's man by disconnecting to do his own thing. End up with leprosy. I think further on the line, we'll talk about leprosy and financing. That's how financial leprosy comes. You can't see him to get out, can't see him to get up, can't see him to elevate. And these things should not be hard on us because of the anointing we're carrying in LTMA. So, again, I want to reemphasize this first point because I don't think the average minister understands it. Get your eyes off his hand. He wants your heart, and he wants you to see his face. And in doing that, everything else will start coming together in due season. Number two, the assignment is greater than the attainment. I never was stuck on a tangent thing. I was so engulfed in the assignment. I'm still here. And I think you can learn such a great lesson. At the end, I'm going to give you a chance to ask questions. If you have any questions, because I really got to see changes in ministry and got to see you rise up. And I know it's possible. And so the assignment, I think we put a line in the road, we talk about how many things can pull you out of alignment with the assignment. And the assignment is what's going to cause production, not strategies, not what you saw another minister did. You can learn, but it will not produce. It's the assignment. God's assistant come along with his assignment. So if he called you something, if he called you to do something, and I believe he called all your pastors, I don't care what city you're in, because that's why he connected you to LTMA and to connect you to me as an apostle with a prophetic voice, is because out of nowhere, with nothing, knowing nobody, he brought this ministry to this place where it is now. So I'm really bragging on him. So like Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. But we must see why he connected us together. We must see some of y'all from big cities, but he connected us together for a reason. The next point is refuse from this day forward to let stuff push your soul out of alignment with the will and purpose of God. Mm-hmm. That's something I didn't do. I saw it. I wanted it, but I didn't go after it. Mm-hmm. I kept aligning myself with God, and finally it started coming after me. You know, so like money coming or becoming a magnet, magnetized. That's what we got to be. That must be in our understanding. I think it's Psalm 37:4 where it said, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desire of your heart. Actually, my desire and God's desire should become one. And the only way I do, if I delight myself in him and what he assigned me to do, then he give me the desire of his heart. Then his desire, the desire of my heart, be the desire of his heart. And it's a done deal. I think by not knowing, we're going around in circles, and LTMA is to break that circle, to light a fire and burn a hole in that circle, in this cycle that ministry has been going in for years and years and years. So quite naturally, we're going to be a little different. Our approach is different because I had to break out all the circles in order to see. The circle had me going around and around. I was dizzy. I didn't know where I was going. So when I got out of the circle, then I began to have contact with God, and God began to give me the insight. I delighted myself in him, and I stayed with it. So I'm dealing with stuff and assignment, how to keep you from accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish. You see, a lot of times we buy a lot of stuff and get ourselves in such a damaged position that we can't even make demands on the congregation because we're scared of it. And so, and they know it. And we have to turn these things around. Now, and the evangelists and the rest of you all listening, it's the same thing. Now, notice this, and I have to use myself. Apostle Paul did it. Notice how God got 10 championship rings to me, sweatless and effortless. I never asked for them, but they are marked of distinction. 10. Got them all to a mark of distinction. I mean, how did it happen? I didn't ask for them. Different ways, different person to you. But that was evidence, and I kept saying, God can get anything to you through anybody from anywhere. And it just started coming, it just started manifesting. But that was years and years and years and years of faithfulness toward him. So he said, let me show you what I'm going to do. And he just did it. You know, manifestation and materialism, you just got to focus on God like Solomon did. You know, Solomon said you could ask for anything you want. He asked for wisdom. And so this is really true stuff. This is what we need to do. You know, someone may heckle you and say, you following Leroy or say that. They did Elisha that. Elisha said, man, listen, worry about your business now. I'm a minister to this man here. I'm going with this man right here. Mm-hmm. And so back to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, you have to minister to those you're following.
Mm-hmm.
And as you minister to those you're following, those who follow you begin to minister to you more. Now, we have some glimpse of that in our ministry now because there are guys in LTMA, a very faithful guy, and they can tell you how everything has stepped up in their lives in ministry with people respecting them. Not just by money, just respect and honor because what you do, it come back to you. And God got it all planned out. So back to the 10 championship ring, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to exceed the abundant above all Jackson thing.
Mm-hmm.
I asked for him. I even thought about it. Well, what? I mean, how you gonna have a data cowboy ring? What? I ain't even watching them on 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
If my wife 3, you see the ball. I was sitting at a game with my granddaughter, and the bases got loaded, and she went up there, and I said, Lord, you want to increase here, and we decreased, and she hit a home run, and the bases were loaded.
Mm-hmm.
I had my hand out before I knew it, but then the white lady was sitting beside me. I was sitting in a chair. She was in the grandstand, and she come down to me, and I had the Baltimore Red Sox ring. She said, sir, I just asked you, man, what ring is this? I saw it was the boss's Red Sox championship ring. I said, man, but I didn't play it. It was given to me. I said, I have 10 rings. She said, what? I said, I have 10 different rings from different championships. Now, I mean, what a witness.
Right.
And I mean, you can't find no book with this written in it. You know what I'm saying? And probably, sons and daughters, you won't find this nowhere else in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's unique. You know, most people who play ball, they got no 10 rings. Well, I'm just trying to show you how he'll get it to you,
mm-hmm.
if you maximize what he's saying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still talking number 5. The more you go after things, they'll flee from you or come to you and hang you in a spot mm-hmm. of ministry where you can't go no further.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say that again now. The more you go after things, they flee from you or come to you and hang you in a spot of ministry where you can't go no further. I think our birthright and ministry, we just need to be able to move and be able to flow. Don't go around the sandbox circle trying to make things happen. And then let's deal with financial leprosy in ministry. You know that story in 2 Kings 5:20-27, the prophet went out, sent his servant out, told a man what to do. And then Gehazi undoubtedly thought he wasn't getting enough of the package. I don't know what he thought. But he went behind the prophet back and did try to do ministry on his own, disconnected, and went did something on his own. The prophet didn't seem to do it. And so, like Elisha and Elijah, the boy did what he was supposed to do. Gehazi didn't do what he was supposed to do, so he didn't get the mantle. It didn't come on him. So we need to be aware of that fact, what happened to him, man. He never got, we got Achan, he got beard, and his whole family got beard. This man, the whole family got leprosy. And so we're not talking from a negative standpoint. We're talking from a factual standpoint. We're talking from a standpoint that LTMA, I speak blessing, that all of us need to be more productive and more in the mode of moving in higher and greater dimension. And then the next thing I want to talk about is in 2 Kings 2:1-15, is where Elijah was. And, Elijah kept on, he going somewhere else. Elijah said, wherever you go, I'm going. Then you had the other ministers poking at him, making fun at him. More than one time, I think it's 3 different times he told him to go and play, but the boy never let up. And so here's, I guess, the highlight of today's importation. Focus and stop making excuses. That's so powerful. Focus and stop making excuses or stop looking for excuses. You know, if the dog sneezes, you can't make it to the next meeting. I mean, come on, man. Come on. When Leroy Jr. was a baby, I was pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church. Well, at the night watch service, we usually prepare food, so when we come back from the service, we'll go to our different houses, my brother's house, and sit down, laugh, and talk till daybreak. And so we were at there, and Leroy's heart ran off. And you couldn't keep up with it. And so we worked on him and couldn't got calmed down, and then it started again. So I looked at Carolyn. I told her, I'm going to preach the night watch service. You go in the hospital with him. His heart gone. She said, I was just beaten. But here's what the Spirit of God told me. Take care of my business, and I'll take care of yours. Now, I could have went to the hospital myself, and Leroy might not have made it. I had to obey God that night. And so every little excuse for not going to a meeting and not doing that, you got to stay home, you got to watch. What you going to do? You going to stay home and watch? You need to be at the meeting. You see, I wouldn't miss no meeting with my dad. My wife would tell you, I could be almost sick. She can be, I don't care what it is. I'm going to make the meeting. I would like for us to go together, but she couldn't make it, I would go. Well, I went on and did that service that night. The Lord took care of Leroy, and then I went and stayed at the hospital the rest of the night. But just to trust God, stop looking for excuses, making excuses, because you're not going to get it that way. So I would say to you, whatever you do from this day forward, be moved by the Spirit. That's the main thing. Be moved by the Spirit. Now, what I want to do is, at this point, if anybody need to unmute their phone to say something, to ask this question, I want to open up, I don't know, the Holy Spirit, I want to open up for questions. Whatever question anyone may have, because we have to develop this type of relationship. And, you know, you say, are you that smart? No, I just trust the Holy Spirit. He told me to study TMA, so I'm not over concerned about what question may be asked. I know the Holy Spirit has the answer. But I don't want nobody to stay in the stuff. We just go around in circles, have camp meeting every year and all that. No, something's supposed to be happening. If not, something's supposed to stop happening, and we want to find out what that is so that the thoughts can be light properly and that you can step fully into the van in which God wants you to go. So wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, might, all these things, we need to have them. So if anyone got a question, just go ahead on.
If you have a question, you will have to press 4-star to unmute yourself.
Now,
good morning, Dad.
In the position, go ahead. Who is that?
You said, this is Skelton.
Yeah,
you said the assignment is greater than the attainment. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah. The assignment is number one. Whatever is accumulated or whatever attainment that you receive in life is not as great as the assignment. I mean, no matter how big your church gets, no matter how many people come, it doesn't matter. As long as you take care of the assignment, that's so important. They're not turning it off.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So that assignment, what I am going to do, Cookie, is prioritize the purpose. I think that's one of the secrets that I've had over the years, because I was locking this place here in the middle of nowhere, nobody. But I prioritized the purpose, kept my eyes on the purpose, and by doing that, everything else began to develop. That's what I was trying to say.
Yes. Thank you.
The question don't have to be about something I say. And we got to drop shame. I think shame is one of the things. Hebrews 12:2, he said Jesus wasn't ashamed. And Paul said Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So the enemy try to shame us sometimes. We want to do everything private. But this morning he told me that put it out in the open to ask questions, because maybe if I can't answer, somebody else can.
Apostle, this is Pastor Derek Searles in Pensacola, Florida. God bless you. I wanted to ask you today how to grow more effectively in our membership. As you know, the Lord gave us the Old Liberty University. Jerry Falwell built back in the late 80s, early 90s, and the church was always much, much bigger than the congregation. And since we connected in 2017, God changed our money. He's blessed the ministry, and we are starting to grow. We are doing a lot of teaching on connecting properly, effective connection, and we're seeing the people come, but it seems like it's slow. So I wanted to bring wisdom from you today to know how to grow effectively in our congregation here in Pensacola, Florida.
Yeah, just go on to implement John 3:30. He must increase and I must decrease. And stick with the spirit more than the strategies. Spend time and separating yourself. I know you know the scripture in Jude, from the sensual to the spirit, then keep yourself in the love of God. Sometimes the slowdown is for a reason. Sometimes growth turns out to be a lowdown, because you get too many people in there who are not with the vision. They're just excited, jump around. And when you're building, it takes patience. I didn't grow as fast as the average church grew, but I remember I was at a large meeting. I won't call the man's name. Dr. Farber will know who it is when I tell it. He was and maybe some others. We was at a great meeting with another great man, and this man stood up and say his church was growing so fast, he didn't have the people to keep up with the growth. And so sometimes God let something go by a pace. It doesn't mean you're not successful. The building, half the building don't mean nothing. I mean, having a big building with less people don't mean nothing. I've been through that. But it's the pace of developing the Gideon army you have. Feed them, prepare them, and then when God sees that you got enough people to handle his business properly, that is tied into you as his leader, then he will start sending some people that you're going to have to groom. Because some of them are going to fight, but there's some people that are coming, you got to be groomed, but you got to have some groomed people with you to groom. So numerical growth is not strong as spiritual growth. So just develop the one you have, love them, show them the authority of a pastor, and lead them. And the Lord ministered to me not long ago. He said, you're too much concerned about evangelism in your church. I said, what? He says, y'all make the altar call. You're discouraged because maybe nobody come at the altar call. He said, it's not an evangelistic meeting. Even though people get saved, your job is to feed my sheep and to feed my lamb. And so for many years, I have had developed myself in being overly concerned about visitors, over concerned about getting somebody to come to the altar. And the Lord just got me straight on that. And I told a peace came on me. The evangelistic work going on, I witness to people throughout the day. I get people saved myself. And that's another thing we've got to start doing. We've got to start witnessing to people personally, one-on-one. Not as ministers, just as servants of the living God. So it is well. God will take care of you. God take care of you financially with a smaller number sometimes than with a larger number. You get people who are really committed. I got people been with me for 35, 36, 37 years, solid as a rock. Not one, not two, not 10, not 15, not 20. A whole lot of people. And they've grown with me. And so as my ministry grew and I went worldwide and sometime I had to send somebody else in my place, they understand how it goes. So you're doing fine, and I'll remember you in prayer.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Apostle, this is Pastor Flores.
Yes, sir.
I was just wondering, is there a book you would recommend just to keep developing our personal leadership that you've read that really maybe stuck out to you, you took a lot of points from, or it just really blessed you?
I got so many books I've read over the years, and maybe I have to get back with you on that one, but I had a smart answer, you know. When you first time. You probably got it in your hand. The B-I-B-L-E.
Yes,
I would study that. I know you have done somewhat, but I would go back and study the life of leadership in the scripture, like the stories I told Moses and Joshua and Elijah and Elisha, Paul and Timothy. I think it's so important that we study that to further ourselves in fulfilling following, and then following come proper, leading will come proper. But I'll find some books and recommend some books, because you got to be real careful in recommending books, because you got to be able to read a book and take out the good and leave the bad, you know, because very seldom you find a book beside the Bible that goes through with various, to me, substantial information cover to cover, so you got to be real mindful with that. But just study those lessons. What I did when I first started, I didn't have no books. I just read that Bible. I don't know how many Bibles, back's falling off. I just read, half time I didn't know what I was reading, I just read. And so I know you've been in ministry a while, and as I was talking to Pastor a few minutes ago, there is really no shortcuts, and strategies sometimes can mess you up spiritually. Your uniqueness, your uniqueness is going to come out of the Word of God, but God's going to really show you who you are. And that's important. So I'll get back with you on that.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Apostle Thompson?
I'm listening.
This is Dr. Bradford, your daughter. I don't have a question, but I want to let you know, listening to you and praying for all of us and taking notes, you said you want changes. And I'm telling you, since I left out of that last meeting we had, nothing is the same. Everything has changed. I stepped into another level of anointing, that apostolic anointing, that mantle is so strong. I can hardly, Lord Jesus, everything is changing, the finances, the healing. The reason why I don't travel too much is because my husband's been under weather, but Dr. Thompson, Dad, I'm telling you, nothing is the same. So everything you're doing is not in vain. I am being blessed beyond measure. Everything has turned around in my home, in my life, the healing. You start talking about health. God had already been on it for me, telling me to stop eating all of this and all of that. And I knew it was a confirmation. Everything you're doing is confirmation. If it's not confirmation, you speak it, it manifests. So I want to let you know that I'm growing in the faith, growing in the grace, growing in everything, the favor of God. The favor of God is so silly. I left out a meeting this morning with my daughter. She's having some problems with tying up a loan that she was trying to get some property, but the Lord told me to go with her, and the favor showed up. Everything is working. Your labor's not in vain in our lives. I know not mine's for sure. And I appreciate you, and I love you. Just keep pouring in important wisdom, impartation, revelation, I tell you. Everything not the same. My life is not the same, the preaching, the teaching. God bless you. I just wanted to put that in. Because every question I have, when I get on this line, you answer. Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. All right, daughter. That's a good testimony. Keep going forward. I love it. I love it. I love it. Any questions about ministry? I wish Brother Hayden had called me and asked me that I had any question. He never called. I think Pastor Oral sort of touched something that the way we are connected and the way God is doing things in our lives. Brother Hagin really didn't have to call me. I would do like Or just said, I'll get my answer while he's talking. If you listen, that's the way it should be at your church. People who come, you can have 2,000 people, but you're supposed to have the answer come out your mouth, all of them. If they're listening, what you say might go to them another way, but everybody get the answer. God is so super and so above natural that he knows his children, he knows what we need. He got his divine plan from Ephesians 4 of how we are to minister to people in the spirit, and people get the answer. I know they get the answer. And so, but
Apostle Thompson.
Yes.
This is Pastor Scroggins.
Who?
Pastor Scroggins. Well, okay. There's two things. One, I really appreciate you telling us about pressing in and coming and not using excuses, because I was having a little bit of trouble this week with my daddy being in hospice, and it, you know, can't tell if he's going to pass or not pass. Sometimes he looks like he's going, and then the next day he perk up like it's nothing. So it was kind of making me feel like, well, maybe I ought not go and just wait and see. But I was really wanting to be there. I never like not coming, because I just take my connection to you very seriously and my position of intercessory very seriously. But it just encouraged me to hear that to just press, you know, take God's business, he'll take care of yours. So I appreciate that. And in impartation, I had the question, and I was talking to you about how the schools were going, excelling, and the church wasn't. And you told me, you said, well, say the same thing about the church. And so I said, all right. And, you know, when you teach me something, I know that it's God teaching, so I listen real good. And I started saying, you know, the church is excelling. I didn't pay attention to what I was seeing. I didn't pay attention to anything but what you told me to do. And so it has began to turn around. You know, more people visit, the members are beginning that to understand the importance of their commitment to their responsibilities. And so I was just meditating because you've been teaching us, you know, meditate. And even though we may have done it before, because, you know, my soul would say, oh, you know how to do this already. I said, you be quiet, because if I knew how to do it already, he would have never said, this is what I'm teaching you. And as I was meditating, and that's when it came up to me that, wait a minute, because you said what he told you to say, this is why you're getting these results. So I didn't, you know, I can't formulate a question right now, but I just wanted to give you some feedback to what was occurring with me and even my current position, but how this is enabling me. And so when you tell us that you want to teach us, you know, the light of torches, I think this open mic has helped you to see that the torch is lit. And I don't have a question because I don't have sense enough sometimes to know what the question is, but if I listen long enough, I find something out. So thank you.
Okay, now two things I want to address in what you say. Sometimes there are cases I understand that you have to take care of. I'm aware of that fact.
Right.
And but when a person looking for excuse, you can find it. And I think we should check with the Lord and not just jump and not do something that the Lord already assigned us to. You know, Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Said the man won't go by his land, by his marriage. He's saying, follow me, you know what I'm saying? And so we have to die daily to excuses, looking for some kind of excuse and do what we need to do. But when you're talking about your church growth and the visitors coming, and this is not just for you, this is for everybody, get rid of the desperation. The desperation I had one time way back, people feel it when they walk into the church. And we turn the whole service over to them. We just got to go on and do what we do. They like it. They stay. They leave. They can't visit one time to watch it. And so we just got to leave. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly. Keep increasing the word. Then we have that text in Acts 9:31 about identifying, walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and multiply. And so our job is to take care of the Father's business. As we take care of the Father's business, we seek His face, ask Him what He won't do, but we must not, at large, I'm talking to the whole body, must not beg for the church to grow or for church increase or church membership. Let Him handle that. It's His church, His calling. I think He's opening other doors for you. I see what He's doing. I've seen that the other ministers, in different ways, God opened doors for them, take care of them. He got His ways of doing things. And so that's a good testimony. Our prayer go out with you for your father, that God mercy be on him, that he don't lay on that bed and suffer. I know you know the Lord, and the Lord will take care of it.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Apostle Thompson.
I'm here.
Yes, hi. This is Elder Rico McAdory in Birmingham, Alabama. Thank you so much for all you do, sir, and sharing your wisdom. A quick question I had was, since we don't skip steps in the kingdom, is it possible for us to accelerate through those steps faster through obedience?
Absolutely. If the spirit world is like it's run parallel to something that happened in secular world or the educational world or the science world, if you be faithful with a few things, I'll make you rule over many. You know that's in Luke 16 about that stewardship deal, because I'm teaching my congregation tonight how to live under the stewardship of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the scriptures that I want to bring up. If you're not faithful in it with another man, who's going to give you your own? So, yes, promotion. I've seen promotion, acceleration in my life, my ministry. You know, for lack of a better word, I just pass ministers up who've been on the spot for way before me. I just pass them up. But I wasn't trying to pass them up. All I was trying to do was do what he wanted me to do. So, what? That's prophetical words coming out of your mouth there for us all to take a hold of, that if you be diligent over a few things, he'll make you rule over many things. Absolutely. So there are now certain steps. I use this illustration all the time. There are steps, there's the escalator, and there's the elevator. There are certain things you're not going to be able to get in the elevator on. Certain things you're not going to be able to get on the escalator. There are certain things you've got to take step by step. But yet, those steps, volume, enlargement will be so big that you're going to another level on the same step. But it's lessons that we have to learn because Satan's only means of causing us to forfeit what God wants to have is lies and deception. So in each step, there's a certain discernment that we have to develop in to be able to handle the next step. That's why people win the lottery, they never make it because they don't know what to do with money. Man marry a good woman, don't know what to do with her, he in trouble. A woman marry a good man, don't know what to do with it, she in trouble because they didn't come to the step. The parent might not have taught them nothing. They might not saw the idea of marrying the home, so et cetera. So God got to, I was escalated a lot of time on steps. I wasn't on the escalator, I was on the step. And I was escalated. Sometime on the step, I got in the elevator. If you understand my language, I was still on the step, but it looked like I was in the elevator. Because things were going to start moving because I obeyed God. You're willing to obedient. He said you're eat to go to the land. Any more questions? Because I don't want nobody to stay in a stuck. I don't want nobody to stay in a rut. I don't want nobody to stay in a hole. I want nobody to think this is a miracle round. This is not a miracle round. This is a miracle round. I believe that God told us, God brought us together. Like my two sisters testified, I know there's a lot of testimonies on this phone, but I believe in advancement, increase, and I believe that the anointing has something to do with it. And I think that the connection has something to do with it. And I just don't want to be an organization. You know what I'm saying? I just don't want you giving your life, following me, and nothing happening. You know what I'm saying? I want you to attach properly, pay attention. It's going to be by segment, quite naturally. Another problem we have sometimes is trying to jump from where we are to what we see. Man, that's blind. To the baboon, the hailstorm with dark sunshades on. That can't happen. You don't know what my wife and I sit down and talk. You don't know what, and I use myself because I'm your apostle and I'm your father. And so when I use myself, I'm not bragging on me. Like I said, I only am what I am. Yet not I. Okay. Yet not I. Anytime I say something like this, I want you to always remember that I'm under the umbrella of yet not I. But yet by the same token, we had to make a lot of steps. We made a lot of sacrifices. I placed sacrifices in the place of some good excuses I could have made. But you see what I'm saying? I fill those excuses with sacrifices. And by doing that, I can see when somebody doing something fleshy. They're not yielding to the Spirit. And therefore, the results can't come. And that's what I want to make sure all of you all know. I know what I want to tell you. I'm glad we've been going for 45 minutes. The Lord assigned me to make 24 millionaires with no debt.
Mm-hmm. Now, hallelujah.
He said this. He said, you got a lot of millionaires in debt. I said, what? He said, yes. They got all kind of investments over there. It's a lot of paper money. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the real money. I'm talking about paperwork about the money. He said, no, I want you to make 24 millionaires without debt.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might have been walking in the supermarket or something when he told me that. I told him yes. So I want you to know that it don't have to stop at 24, and you all are in the most gravest position, as well as my church member, to be 24. It's very easy, now watch how I say this, to become a millionaire without a method, but with a mission. See, I'm a millionaire missionary because my mission belongs to him. And so where we are now, the training in finances that you all are getting are extensive training to, as my brother said, can you skip some of the steps? Yes, sir. When you connect to extensive training, like Lot connected to Abraham, undoubtedly he didn't learn the whole lesson, but he got rich anyway. Now, if he'd have been getting rich both ways, he'd been paying attention to Abraham's method of functioning, he would have went in the Hall of Fame with Abraham, but he got lost and lost everything he had. So do not ever think what you're doing is in vain. I went to Ron Church. Oh, I went to Ron Church. I think it was $108,000, $109,000, the offering. I mean, and some people think we're in a competition thing, and we're not in no competition here. It's not a money issue. I never told nobody nothing about the money. So get that crap out your mind and recognize God has connected you here for a reason. Get a hold of it and get over it. The same old thing, going over the same old thing. You know, I don't have to do nothing the rest of my life. But it's because of my faithfulness. And I'm never planning on retiring. I'm refiring at 72. I'll be 73 this year, biologically. Numerically. Biologically, I'm 27. But, and then about your health, you know, I told you, stop eating by taste. Stop saying grace over taste. Make sure you're eating right. Take care of your body, as one of my daughters was talking about. Take care of your body so you can live a long, strong life. And then think about getting old and getting feeble. You know, I got me a balance trainer and a weight trainer and everything at my house. She come twice a week, me and my wife. And, you know, me and my wife exercise every day. I get in the sauna every day. So I want y'all to take care of your health. You know, one of my daughters know what I'm talking about, because I sacked her out because I want her to be here. The devil didn't do it. We let
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
So don't let him do it. Stop that foolishness and make the decision that I'm gonna take care of myself, take care of my heart, take care of my body, that I'm gonna live long, and you can do it. I mean, me and Mom did it. Y'all can do it. You know, y'all younger in numerically, and you think you ain't iron, you can be eating all that crap, crazy stuff. Take care of your body and take care of your children. And we got great days lying here.
Amen.
What might I start talking about all that? What were we talking about?
The 24 millionaires.
24 millionaires. How can I forget about that? So I know many of them on this line.
I am.
Yeah, oh, yeah. All three of my sons, yeah.
I am.
And, yeah.
I am.
See, now, don't let your job fanonize your mind out of the salary you get from the church. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Just do what you're supposed to do and watch your thinking, watch your mouth, watch your ear. Don't let nobody get in your ear because they're getting you in and deform you and misinform you and deform you too. So just watch that. Father, we thank you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that grace is coming to LTMA all over the world right now. I feel your presence. I'm so thankful. I will give you all the honor for these men and women. And my son sits here with me at the table, that we're operating as one man, not in the flesh, not just in the mind, but in the spirit. We thank you for the liberty of the spirit over each minister, whatever calling they have on their life, that the right doors are being opened. And Father, we know that there are men and women here that you've anointed, you've given gifts to. They are anointed. May they find pathways or the pathway that lead them into your total control. We thank you for this impartation today. May your love flood each one of our hearts, connect us together, that we may be a team, a dream team, that will put dreams in other ministers and other churches' heart. We want to help everybody. We thank you right now. We thank you for Marge's father. Have mercy upon him. Let the grace be upon him. And if any other member have anything they're dealing with, the family, may the grace be upon it right now. We thank you for the churches. We thank you for discernment. As the apostle Jesus Christ, I speak discernment over all these ministers right now, and favor over them right now, and love over them right now, and grace over them right now. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
This is Apostle. I sat here and listened at the roll call. I think we're doing a tremendous job. The MVBs are doing a tremendous job in keeping your group in alignment. And the ministers, you all are doing it's 1 o'clock in my time. In Louisiana in the middle of the day to have a percentage like we have having, that means you mean business. And it means a lot to me, the respect and the honor that you have not only done this time, but many times in the time past, that I know I'm not wasting my time. To confirm this, those who did not answer the call and you don't have a reason why they wasn't on the call, I want you to give them a call to encourage them, because just one sentence can come out of my mouth sometime that can change the ministry totally, like some of the girls were testifying today. So, but I want to congratulate and say thankful for the respect and honor, because I don't want to be wasting my time preparing and come on the line, and the MVBs are working trying to get you all in alignment, that we all can be on one accord. I think we're doing it. And I think God's blessing is upon it for that. So God bless you.
Thank you so much, Apostle. Just a few things I want to remind you about.
No, I haven't got it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is Dr. Clutter O'Bear is on the line.
You weren't here yet.
Okay, good. Thank you so much.
Just place a call to the market cell phone.
Okay.
All right.
It didn't come.
I'll remind you a few things from this week. Of course, we'll be having a Supernatural Money Coming to You conference in Heflin, Alabama, at Rhema Christian Center with Pastor Joe Brown, with Dr. Joe Brown. And the services are April 4th at 7 p.m. And on April 5th, it will be 10 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. That's, again, April the 4th at 7 p.m., April the 5th at 10 a.m., and 2:30 p.m. Be sure to attend your various circle calls. Be sure you contact your MVB if you need call coordinates. Again, thank you so much